song after the lesson number 940, 945. I continue this series on fruit of the Spirit, just taking two words on this one, words kindness and goodness. Just by way of review, and I do this on, I think, in the introductions, just remember when you were baptized, you were promised in Acts 2, verse 38, repent or be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. For there was a promise when Jesus left, I'm going to send the Spirit back to you in John chapter 14. So God gives us his Holy Spirit, and it's reasonable to conclude that the fruit of the Spirit will contain or reveal godly characteristics. And so these lessons, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm taking the next two that are in the list that's found in Galatians chapter 5, beginning of verse 22. So this is the third lesson in the series, and I'll close it out next Sunday evening, Lord willing. We'll do the final three that are there. But tonight, it's just the kindness in words from Tory Dictionary, the New Testament words. And then I used the Webster, Merriam-Webster English Dictionary and Thesaurus just to get a definition of these words. So kindness in my definition than I have in yours. But when we think about kindness, what's the fruit that should be ours as a being on God's side? The definition describes an attitude of goodness toward another person. Kindness, and obviously the word goodness is in kindness. It's showing or having a gentle, considerate nature. Good-hearted, willing to help others. Are you kind? Sometimes when people do something good for you, you say, oh, aren't you kind? Benevolent, charitable. This is one I always appreciate. They use the word humane. Humane for kindness. Compassionate, responsive, merciful, warm-hearted, cordial, sympathetic. You're obliging. Kindness. Of course, when you think about what you, sometimes definitions are best when you say, now here's the opposite. If you're not kind, you're cruel, harsh, rough, grim, unrelenting, fierce, inhuman. Oh, well, we want kindness. Fruit of the Spirit. This has come from us. It's a characteristic of God. So since God gives us his Spirit, it should be obvious or a logical conclusion that fruit will be displayed in godly characteristics. It's fruit of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And it's several verses I've listed for you. And I've put I put a little bit of definition or the quoted from the verse for you. But in Psalm 31, 21, blessed be the Lord, for he's shown me his marvelous kindness. It's been demonstrated. So we can say, God, aren't you kind? You've blessed us. Psalm 107, whoever is wise will observe these things, and they'll understand the loving kindness of the Lord. So there's an adjective going on to it. It's loving kindness. In Psalm 119, verse 76, let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. Loving kindness, merciful kindness. Yeah. So we use those added words to describe what our kindness is supposed to look like, especially when we see it in God. Yeah. In Titus chapter 3, verse 3, yeah. We ourselves, at one time, were disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful. Oh, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I remember when my dad would pray, He would, he, I don't think, it, I never heard him change his introduction in his addressing God in prayer. It was merciful Heavenly Father, merciful. There was something about God's mercy that impressed my dad that was his opening, and I don't ever remember him changing it. I mean, one of my professors in college, when he prayed, it was Holy Father. Something about the holiness of God. And Paul Downey, Professor Paul Downey prayed, and it was that same opening, Holy Father. So something about the characteristics of God that's impressive, and sometimes people will key on that characteristic, that kindness, merciful, kind, holy Heavenly Father in their prayer. That should be characteristic of us. And here you have the verses, Colossians 3, verse 9. Since you put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man, he says, therefore, as God's elect, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies. And the next word is kindness. And the list goes on. Kindness. Kindness. Second word is goodness. By definition. You know, I like definitions because many times it not only defines the word, but it gives the application. We see what it's supposed to look like right in the definition, or how I'm supposed to live. And here are the words for goodness now. To be upright and kind in our feeling and actions. Do good. It's goodness. Expressing itself in deeds. Bestow a benefit. Benevolent. Helpful. Favorable. Desirable. You do goodness. A deed that's becoming or fitting. We don't use those words very often. Something that's becoming or that's fitting. Goodness. Yeah. Moral excellence. If you're good in your kindness, you're gracious. You're upright. Of course, then the opposite again. An action that harms or hurts. We sometimes say to somebody else when they did something that hurts, that wasn't good. So we sometimes, if we can't find the definition of a word, we know it when we see it. The way you spoke to me or the way that you acted toward me, that wasn't good. It wasn't kind, merciful, gracious, all these words in the definition. Goodness is characteristic of God. Romans 2, verse 4. The riches of God in his goodness, his forbearance, long-suffering. Don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? There's something about the way God treats us, or his benefits, his grace, the demonstration of his love should move us toward him. Goodness of God leads you to repentance. Ooh. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you. So, in our attitude, our action, our speech, our goodness needs to be kind. Oh, that was good, but it was kind too. Psalm 31, verse 19. Psalmist said, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you prepared for those who trust in you. Oh, God's goodness. And the psalmist says, that should be our goodness too. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, still in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. And it's repeated in verse 21 and verse 31. Same phrase. Give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Awesome. God's goodness. Well, you know, we sang that song. I sang for Bible class this morning, and then Brother Warner sang it too. God is good. God is good. That should be characteristic of us. Let's do good. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, well, I put it on us, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. To have goodness in our good work. We want to have kindness in our good that we do for each other. I'm going to close with a story. This one's not in your notes. But it's the story of Jeremiah. You might be familiar with it once I start telling it. But in Jeremiah chapter 38, it tells about Zedekiah the king and Ebed-Melech. He was an Ethiopian in the king's house, and Jeremiah is the prophet. So you have the king Zedekiah, Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian in the king's house, and then Jeremiah the prophet. Right? What happened? The nation of Judah was experiencing some troublesome times, and they were in a battle with the Chaldeans. Jeremiah predicted Judah's capture. He forecasted their national defeat. You're going to lose this war. So the people accused the people of Judah accused Jeremiah of giving aid to the enemy. You know, what you're preaching is not helping us. You're aid and abetting the enemy. Found a way to get Jeremiah arrested. And in Jeremiah 38, verse 6, says, so they took Jeremiah, cast him into the dungeon of Malachi, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. They let Jeremiah down with ropes, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire, and Jeremiah sank in the mire. Well, now Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian servant, he couldn't bear the thought of Jeremiah dying in that dungeon, in that mire at the bottom of the dungeon. So he begged the king to let him go rescue the prophet Jeremiah. The king granted him request, the request, and then the king added more to it. He assigned 30 men to help Ebed-Melech get Jeremiah out of that dungeon. Here's the rest of the story. Jeremiah 38, verse 11. So Ebed-Melech took men with him, went to the house of the king under the treasury. They took from there old clothes and old rags. They let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech said to Jeremiah, please put these old clothes and cloths and rags under your armpits, under the ropes. Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with ropes, lifted him out of the dungeon. Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Did what was kind, but he also did what was good. Good and kind. He could have pulled Jeremiah up with just the ropes. That would have been good. However, he didn't want Jeremiah to suffer additional hurt while being lifted up with just the ropes under his armpits. So he went a second mile. He was gracious in his goodness. He was kind in his goodness. Put these cloths and rags under your armpits. Now put the ropes there. You see, and the lesson is, and with our, these two words, our kindness and goodness needs to have heart, and that's in the definitions. We want to, it should be goodness with a plus. Goodness with an extra measure. It's goodness with kindness involved. Yeah, well, that's a good deed, but add a little more. Go a second mile. Do what's expected and then add to it. That's good. And aren't you kind in your goodness? I had this poem written in my Bible. I don't know the author. But it says, we recall the kind old grocer, the grocery store man, when the sugar he would pour, how he had tipped the scales to balance, and then he'd add a little more. And his business, how it prospered. Folks were always in his store, for he gave an honest measure, and then he added a little more. So it is with life, my brother. We will write a better score when we've done what is expected, and we add a little more. That's the lesson. That's goodness. and kindness. Do what's expected and then add a little more. Second mile. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, you know, a song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're subject to it, if not obeyed that good news gospel message, you have the opportunity right now. You have the opportunity, as Peter told his audience when they were convinced they murdered the Christ, crucified the Messiah. What shall we do? In Acts 2:37 and 38, then repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of heaven, or in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and because to you is the promise, and your children, and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words, to them saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those that gladly received his word were baptized. Added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000. Then they continued steadfastly in apostle teaching, the breaking of bread and prayers. So that's the invitation we extend. It's a heavenly call. You're subject to it. So we're going to sing this song, number 945. We usually stand when we sing this invitation song. So 945.